worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show. This is with your host Ted and Austin Brower, except he's not here today. It's just me again. He is still running around Europe. But we're bringing you the latest world news and health research. And this is Austin, if you didn't recognize my voice, who picked up on that last one. So I'll be with you guys again today. He did arrive safely over in Europe. I talked to him yesterday. Everything's good to go. He's running around. Obviously, the time change always throws him off when he's over there. Our show here is 3 Eastern Standard. He's 6 hours plus, 6 or 7, I think. So it's 9 or 10 o'clock in Europe right now. So they're trying to adjust to that schedule. So I think hopefully by Monday, I should have him back on the show, and we should be able to go over some stuff that's going on. He can give us some updates and input and everything that's happening. I did want to address Austria is having some significant issues with sexual crime right now. If you guys look that up, it's just massively been spiking. There was an incident that happened, I think, yesterday. I got an email on it today about 3 migrant Muslims, again, Middle Eastern guys, that chased a... they were following a girl home. Apparently, she was 17, and she stopped to go to the bathroom somewhere, which I think was a very, very egregious mistake. She should have gone to a well-populated area. Well, apparently, they followed her into the bathroom because they didn't care. You know, it doesn't affect them whether they go to the men or women's bathroom. And locked the door, basically beat her up, and all 3 of them raped her, which is pretty horrific. That's something that's pretty horrible. And understand, you need to make sure what your laws are in your state. But in the state of Florida, somebody is basically involved in a violent felony. If they're committing a forcible felony on somebody, regardless if they're armed or not, you do have the right to use your firearm in defense of that individual. I do not know if all states are like that. So like I said, make sure you know your rights before you engage in a situation like that. But again, in Florida, if that were to occur and something like that was happening, if we saw that, we would definitely intervene the best we could and at all possible, you know, try to prevent deadly force. But if it was needed, the situation would present itself there and there'd be no legal recourse at that point. So Europe's got a mess on their hands. It's happening all over the place, and it's getting worse and worse and worse now. But that was just the first thing that I want to address. One thing I want to talk about today, I talked about this months ago about energy drinks, and they found another article again. I think it was a different article. I'm not sure, but it goes into detail again. It talks about how basically just 2 energy drinks a day can make your blood pressure go through the roof. Not only that, it can cause issues with insulin sensitivity, blood sugar, body fat levels, and then you have the artificial sweeteners in some of them on your hands. I've noticed this because I still see a just massive portion of the population when I go out is constantly drinking energies, rock stars, Red Bulls, you name it. And I drank Red Bulls. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, paint some halo over my head in college. Or especially when we go out and do stuff, you know, a lot of times I would drink Red Bull. I've had them before, had many of them before, back before I knew exactly how bad they were. But I've done more research over the last year and realized that there's a lot of healthy alternatives I'll go to in a minute, but there's just something you guys really don't need to engage in. The problem is not only are you dealing with a large amount of caffeine in most of them, they're usually adding in, you know, UMB, guana, all kinds of different heavy stimulants. That's one of the reasons why it's causing blood pressure issues. And then if you don't want to get your daily dose of sucralose, you know, your chlorine atoms or your aspartame, you generally are going to have it loaded up with sugar, high fructose corn syrup, dextrose, maltodextrin, something that's going to spike insulin levels significantly, which is going to end up causing you to store body fat and cause issues with blood sugar. So there's just a lot of stuff you can do. And the article here in 2014, it stated at least 34 deaths associated directly with energy drinks were reported in the United States. Now, researchers are learning that consuming even a couple a day is dangerous for anyone. The American Heart Association recently presented the new research linking energy drinks to abnormal heart rhythms. The evidence was brought forth by U.S. researchers from the University of the Pacific and the David Grant Medical Center and shows that 2 cans of energy drink a day increases the risk of abnormal heart rhythm and high blood pressure. The study monitored 27 volunteers between ages 18 and 40. One group was given 2 cans of energy drinks a day every 6 days for 3 weeks. The other group was given 2 cans of a placebo drink. Neither group knew what they were drinking. After the volunteers drank the two cans, researchers measured their heart rhythm, blood pressure, 4 times in the 6 hours immediately afterward. Those volunteers who were given the energy drinks showed an increased risk of heart problems. Electrocardiograms showed that their QTC intervals were abnormal. Both the duration of their heartbeats and the time required for their heart's electrical systems to recharge to prepare for the next heartbeat were negatively affected. Those who drank the energy drinks also had consistently high blood pressure readings for 2 hours after consuming these drinks. And that goes into detail of some other stuff with it, but that's right there should give you... And like I said, it's not necessarily that there's a small amount of caffeine in it, because, you know, the human body can handle small doses of caffeine, especially if it's from a real natural source, like a green tea extract or something like that. But it usually doesn't cause a massive spike in BP. However, it still can. It's usually very, very minimal. But like I said, when you have these energy drinks, they're usually stacked with 2 and 3 different stimulants that are all very, very harsh as far as on the adrenal gland and the heart. And so you end up in this situation where you're just loading your body up with a massive amount of sugar, massive amount of caffeine, massive amount of stimulants, and then you end up crashing later. So, I mean, the best thing to do is make sure you use caffeine if needed. I'm not endorsing it, but I'm saying if you need it, use it as a tool, not a crutch. You probably heard Dad say that before. As in, if you need it for a presentation in college, if you have something to do at work that you need to catch up on, use it as a tool. That's why we like the Purple Sticks so much, because they have a lot of different Amazon root extracts and green tea extracts and a lot of B vitamins. Really give you a stable boost of energy without a lot of significant raise in blood pressure or any issues like that. That product, unfortunately, though, is very difficult for us to keep in. We should be getting a whole new fresh batch in by hopefully the second week in May. So once we get those in, we'll be shipping out the back orders, and we'll still have a huge amount on hand, hopefully, for you guys to try those. But that's what I definitely recommend if you really need something as a mild stimulant to get through. If you're not wanting to do that and you want to go a real natural approach, you know, the Ultimate Multiple with our B-Complex, with our adrenal support, those three together are a really good daily supplement. Now, the B-Complex is water-soluble bioactive. So you can take a large portion of those. I've taken up to 4 of them a day, no problem, no adverse side effects at all. I think I've actually taken a little bit more than that occasionally, but not on a regular basis. Because you have to understand, if you get too much B vitamins in your body essentially, you know, urinates it out. It's not an issue. You're not going to OD on B vitamins. And again, please use discretion with that. I'm not saying take a whole bottle of them. It'll probably make you quite nauseous to take that many supplements at one time. But, you know, 2 to 3 of them, 2 times a day, I've never seen any issues running it like that. So that's just a option as a side note, and I always like to keep everybody informed about new stuff, especially things that I've done before like Red Bulls and energy drinks, because they're so common and so many people use them, and there's good alternatives out there, and that stuff's just expensive. Most of it's in aluminum cans, which that's already a huge turnoff right there because you're getting aluminum. I mean, all the carbonation, all that stuff, it etches small amounts of aluminum out of the cans into the drink, and then you're consuming it. Remember, aluminum is one of the only metals that can successfully pass through the blood-brain barrier. That's why they've directly linked it to autism. Now, next article I wanted to touch on is I want to touch about this Harvard issue that's going on with the mumps. Now, I find this quite, I don't want to say it's funny, because it's not funny when somebody gets the mumps, but I find it ironic because they're saying now that, you know, the individuals that have the mumps have been vaccinated, which is Harvard, so I highly doubt you would ever be able to find many individuals, if any, at that college that haven't been vaccinated at some point. But now I think they're saying it's up to like 40 individuals or more that have contracted the mumps now. It started back, I think, the end of February, and now it's spreading rapidly. And Dr. Paul J. Barrera, director of Massachusetts University's Health Service, told the student newspaper the rise in cases is disconcerting, because I'm actually more concerned now than I was during any time of any other outbreak. I'm desperate to get students to take seriously that they shouldn't be infecting one another. And I started laughing when I read that, because I was like, well, everybody got their mumps vaccines. You got your MMR vaccines. Of course, That made you immune to getting mumps, right? Why else would I get the shot? I'm not getting the shot for, you know, kisses and hugs. Getting it because it's supposed to prevent me from getting the mumps. It's vaccinating me. That's the whole ideology behind vaccines. But what's funny is, you know, that's been drummed into our head through Big Pharma, through the vaccine companies, through the media, through movies, through everything, that you got to get vaccinated. Got to get vaccinated. Got to get vaccinated. Got to have your shots. If you don't have your shots, you can't. Listen, guys, I'm the first person to tell you, I've told you guys repeatedly, I have not been vaccinated, period. I had a tetanus shot when I was 12. That has been the extent of my vaccinations, period. And Dad's confirmed that multiple times. And I don't get sick. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not rubbing faces with people that have mumps and measles. I try to actively avoid people when they're really sick. And I try not to shake people's hands unless I know people, you know, what's going on. But that's one thing a lot of people, you know, do is they don't wash their hands enough. They go out places, they touch things, and we've talked about this in detail as far as bathrooms, so I won't go into it again, but just proper hygiene and proper common sense. If you see somebody coming over to you and they're coughing and hacking and they got snot dripping out of their nose and their eyes are all bloodshot and they can barely stand up straight and they, oh, hey, what's going on, man? I haven't seen you in a while. And they stick out their hand to give you a handshake and, you know, it's oozing snot from their nose that they just wiped with it. You know what? You don't have to be rude. Just say, hey, man, you look like you're kind of sick. I'm going to pass it. I'm going to keep my health. I like it that way. And, you know, I'm exaggerating a little bit, obviously, to paint a picture for you. But you got to understand, you got to use some common sense. You're not being rude if you don't shake somebody's hand, especially if they look like they're knowingly contracting something. And quite frankly, if you are sick, you need to be courteous enough to other people and not intentionally infect people. That's why when I've gotten colds and stuff before, I don't go anywhere, man. I don't. I stay at home. I stay at the office. If I have to go out somewhere, I'm usually very quick about it. I don't run around. I don't go out to the gym. I don't go out to dinner. I don't go anywhere. I just deal with it, get over with it, take my supplements, push through it for a couple days, and I'm done. I don't sit there and go out and try and intentionally infect people. And I'm sure a lot of people aren't intentionally going, hey, I'm going to go out and infect them. But just use some common sense. With these guys, if you know you got the mumps, which they're not supposed to have because they were vaccinated for it, don't be going to class. Get a sick notice from the doctor. You can miss class if you got the mumps. Don't be going out to parties. Don't be going out and doing nonsense and infecting other people. It's just common sense. It's funny because back to the vaccinations, remember the CDC claims that the mump vaccine is 76 to 95% effective, but they offer no scientific evidence to support that claim. There's never been a randomized double-blind placebo-controlled study published on the mumps vaccines in humans. None, ever. The supporting evidence for those vaccines is completely imaginary. There's nothing there. It's completely made up. So that's why I just think it's ironic when I see people at, you know, the prestigious Harvard where, you know, vaccinations, I'm sure, are very, very common. Everybody likes to go with the grain over there. That's a very, you know, fitting in school, I guess you could call it. I mean, that's why you kind of go there. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they have bad education, but it's just, it is one of those schools. So it's just funny that everybody is getting the mumps that's been vaccinated. Remember, Merck got caught, it was back in 2010, if I'm not mistaken, falsifying mumps data. They were actually spiking blood samples, with animal antibodies. They were doing this to make the numbers actually show up like they were effective. And they were, I mean, it was complete and total nonsense. They were spiking blood tests with animal antibodies to make the immune system antibodies look stronger in the vaccinations when they tested them, and they had zero to no effect at all. So, again, guys, I don't want to keep going off on a vaccine rant because you guys know how I feel about it. Do some research. If you have family members that are ignorant in the area, have them do some research. Pull some articles off our website at healthmasters.com, or you don't have to do that. Go online. Just type in vaccine side effects, you know, long-term vaccine problems, vaccine autism. You know, I mean, it's the information out there, and sadly, at the expense of a lot of children's health and lives in the United States, it's out there. But nonetheless, it is out there, and look at what's going on and realize this is not something that's necessary. I told you guys when I spoke to my pediatrician a week and a half ago when we took Hunter in, you know, do his first little exam, checkup thing, whatever it was. And the doctor told me, you know, he's a natural doctor. He'll do full vaccines. He'll do no vaccines. He's very open to everything. he flat out told me, he said, for a vaccination to technically be needed or required, it needs to have a very, very high death rate. I mean, it's a serious problem. If you get it, you will more than likely die, and it needs to be very easy to catch. Because the only known one that he has ever seen that falls into both of those categories is tetanus. And it's really not as easy to catch as I think a lot of people think it is, but however, it can be caught. And it's usually pretty life-threatening. He said he treated 4 kids that have come in with it. 2 of them died. 2 of them pulled out of it. So that's a 50-50 split there. And that's, you know, this is a small local practice doctor. I'm sure the numbers would probably be different in a larger clinic or a larger medical practice. That being said, I have had that one, and that would be the only one that I would ever recommend getting, and that may be one that you want to look into if needed. But other than that, these MMR ones and Hep B and stupid stuff, they don't work, guys. They clearly don't work. Look at Harvard. I mean, all these kids are vaccinated, and they got the mumps. It doesn't work. There's no reason to engage your child and expose them to that level of toxicity when it's not needed and you know it doesn't work. Oh, and this is an interesting article now. The House has now passed a bill requiring search warrants to access your old emails. And I don't think I've talked about this before, and I probably should have, not this bill. But in 1986, the Electronic Communications Privacy Act had a keeping gap in it. And what it did was it allowed the government to have full access to the contents of your email after they were 180 days old. All they have to do is contact the third-party provider like Google, Yahoo, whatever, and tell them, hey, we need access to this. You know, this is such and such with Homeland Security, whatever. And they give complete access to it because they consider that they're no longer subject to warrant for authorities to access their contents after 180 days. They basically, they say there's nothing left. They're abandoned. After 180 days, your emails are abandoned, which for everybody that doesn't know, 180 days is 6 months. So that's why I always tell people, you know, first off, you shouldn't be engaging in any type of, you know, nonsense online regardless. But other than that, you need to delete your email. If you have something on there that you think is pertinent, if you don't want people to see, if you don't want numbers given out, simply as credit card numbers, social numbers, that stuff needs to be deleted immediately. It needs to be used for what it is. I mean, I just had a friend recently get hacked on his email account and ended up having a bank wire to another country, and they caught it, luckily. But it's that simple to get in there. And I mean, it's that simple. So, I mean, you got to be really careful what you put on email. Really careful what you put on email, especially what you reply to as far as a paper trail. Obviously, you get all kinds of spam crap all the time, stuff that's just completely pointless. You know, that just automatically gets dumped. You click the trash button all the time with that. But anything that has pertinent data in it, you need to make sure you keep that cleaned out off your email server. But what they did was, with this bill that just got passed, it corrected a gap in the Fourth Amendment. However, I thought when I originally went through this that it had much more significant standings, and it really did very little for what I wanted, what I was expecting it to do. However, it is a little bit better. What it essentially does is it makes the government, whatever agency it is, have to get a search warrant in order to get these. And they have to give the search warrant to the provider like Google or Yahoo or whatever. And instead of, it leaves the third-party provider with control over whether to inform the subjects of the searches unless they've been gagged. If Google or Gmail or Yahoo gets gagged on it, then they don't even have to tell you. But at least they have to get a search warrant, and then they have to go and contact it. The problem was there was initial provision in this when I read this a few weeks back that was stating that law enforcement agencies had 10 days to inform the person whose emails or communications they had collected of what they were going to be done. That I was extremely happy about, because that was allowing them to say, hey, we're contacting you right now. We have a search warrant for your email. This is what's happened. We have 10 days prior to contact you. Well, that's pretty significant. Now they're saying that they changed the bill at the last second. They changed the verbiage in it, basically meaning that the only people that have to notify you would be your third-party providers, and that's not even required. They can do it if they want to. So So I was kind of disappointed with that. Nonetheless, though, I was happy that at least they had to go out and prove that they needed a search warrant to get your old emails instead of just contacting them after 6 months and saying, hey, we want full access to all this. So, again, like I said, make sure you're keeping your old emails cleaned out. There's no reason to leave stuff like that on there. It leaves too much of a cyber footprint. Another thing I wanted to address today is the war on drugs. I've seen a couple articles over this in the last couple weeks, and I really just wanted to kind of touch on it and, you know, kind of give you guys an eye-opener on what's really going on with this, because we're seeing more and more, and it's always been like this in Florida, is the militarized police use the war on drugs as a pretty much open excuse for just about anything, especially when it comes to pot and cocaine. Those two, I mean, it's like, it doesn't matter how much it is, how little it is, they get like an open-ended warrant to do everything they want, seize property, break through houses. And I mean, this whole war on drugs, which started in the 70s, has been a complete and total failure. And if you don't believe me, do some research on it. The UK's Independent reported on this. And remember, back in 71, Richard Nixon declared the war on drugs, and the U.S. embarked on an effort to combat the importation of drugs via military intervention and assistance to drug-producing nations like Colombia and Mexico. This is when we saw a massive explosion of cocaine in Florida and South Florida. That was huge back then in the 70s, and that's what led to a lot of this. And granted, guys, I'm not saying, I'm not pro, we just need to allow complete underground black market importation of controlled substances in the United States. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not an advocate of that. But the thing that needs to be addressed is when you have these low-level users that don't really do anything, especially nonviolent crimes, and they get caught with a smidgen of something, why are they going to prison for a year? Why are they going on parole? Why are they on, probation for 2 and 3 years? It's complete nonsense. The U.S. spends almost $1 billion a year on prevention and intervention programs internationally as well as domestically. And as noted by The Independent, the study, which was commissioned by John Hopkins University and published in the British medical journal The Lancet, found that anti-drug policies and laws had had no measurable impact on supply or use of drugs and therefore cannot be justified on scientific or public health grounds. Let me tell you why they're saying that, and they're not really calling it out for what it is. And we've talked about this before. The United States, whether you believe it or not, allows large portions of drugs to come in. They help fund it. CIA, that's gone into it in detail before. That's why they have this. What they do is they use the lower-level guys to bust, to put bonds on, to increase the military, the prison-industrial complex. That's the whole reason behind this. That's why I'm very, very pro-legalizing small amounts of most recreational drugs, because I'm very independent about it. I don't advocate the use of it. I don't think it's a good idea. I mean, I had an uncle that OD'd on heroin last year. You know, this isn't something where I'm like, it's good to engage in this behavior. It's not. It's egregious. It's not something that I endorse at all. But what I'm saying is, what's worse, to take somebody that's, you know, smoking pot and throw them in prison with people that are, you know, incarcerated for multiple homicides, and allow them to be introduced into that society, you know, be convicted felon the rest of their life because they had a plant on them that grows naturally outside? No, guys, it doesn't work for me at all. That's just, it doesn't work. The authors of the report presented compelling evidence that countries like Portugal and the Czech Republic have decriminalized nonviolent minor drug offenses, have experienced very positive results. Those include public health benefits, cost savings, lower incarceration rates, and no significant increase in problematic drug use. The drug use didn't go up and it didn't go down. It stayed the same. That's what a lot of people talk about is, oh, well, if we legalize this and we legalize that, the drug use will just go through the roof. Simply not true. The large percentage of the population, regardless if it was legal or illegal, they're going to use the drug regardless. That's the simple fact. If they want to go engage in that behavior and use those compounds, it doesn't matter if they were legal or if they're illegal. They're going to do it anyway. Same concept with you're not supposed to drive while intoxicated. But we could bar alcohol again. We could do the whole alcohol prohibition, and you'd still have DUI arrest. Guarantee 100% there'd still be DUI arrest with a complete prohibition on alcohol. There's another portion of the population that has no interest in engaging in that type of behavior, like myself and most of the listeners. So it doesn't matter if it's legal or if it's illegal. I'm not going to engage in it regardless. So legalizing it doesn't really do anything for me, but it does benefit a lot of people that otherwise have been introduced to a segment of the population through the prison industrial complex that should have never been exposed to that. And that's where a lot of it, that's where my biggest issue is, and the incentivized efforts with military and SWAT. In the U.S., the Civil Liberties Union has tracked a rise in the militarization of local police forces, talked about it many times, and the heavy use of armed SWAT teams to serve warrants in the middle of the night for minor drug charges. Such raids have resulted in multiple deaths of small children and other casualties that were completely needless. No issue at all. There was no violent crime. There was nothing going on that, in my opinion, was even illegal. Please show me the Constitution where it's illegal to engage in some type of substance. There is none. There is not one single place that even addresses that at all. Neighborhoods are basically turning into war zones some nights. We see some of the videos online. Police officers should not be treating people in neighborhoods like wartime enemies. Dr. Chris Beyer of Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health said prohibition was the focus of many national drug laws and were policies based on ideas about drug use and dependence that are not scientifically grounded. He added, the global war on drugs has harmed public health, human rights, and development. It's time for us to rethink our approach to global drug policies and put scientific evidence and public health at the heart of drug policy discussion. And I think it's one of those things where I don't know Donald Trump's stance on it at all. I'm not sure exactly what he is. It hasn't really gotten brought up. It's not a huge hot topic, even though it should be something that more people talk about. But one thing, you know, if you guys listen to his foreign policy speech yesterday, it was pretty interesting. I printed part of it off because he had some very valid points. He actually addressed one of the things I talked about on yesterday's show with our foreign aid that we keep giving. And let me redress this to you guys, because if you heard me yesterday, I had a few people tell me they felt like I'm completely against helping other countries. And I'm not. That was not the premise of what I was saying. The reason why I used the analogy and broke down the numbers and gave you guys the information of, you know, increasing this now from 35 to 37 billion, giving Israel more money for weapons, would allow every individual under the age of 25 that's enrolled in college, which is around about 12.5 million kids, would allow them a $3,000 a year scholarship. And just that simple math right there shows you how much money we completely waste. And that's what he brought up yesterday. And that was so, when he brought it up, and so many people have criticized him for this, and he goes, America needs to be first. We need to take care of America and have America's interest at heart. America needs to come first. And that's what's happened now, is the globalists have used America as a giant resource basket and taken everything from us, including our currency, our freedom, everything, and has been transitioning all of our wealth, our assets, our property to other countries in order to create this globalized aspect. And he even said on there yesterday, he goes, the whole globalization aspect is not something we need to encourage. The United States needs to focus on us first and then focus on helping out other countries. This is where, secondly, I'm quoting Trump right now. He goes, secondly, our allies are not paying their fair share. I've been talking about this recently a lot. Our allies must contribute toward their financial, political, and human costs. They have to do it of our tremendous security burden, but many of them are simply not doing so. He goes, they look at the United States as weak and forgiving and feel no obligation to honor their agreements with us. He goes, in NATO, for instance, only four of 28 other member countries besides America are spending the minimum required 2% of GDP on defense. We have spent trillions of dollars over time on planes, missiles, ships, equipment, building up our military to provide a stronger defense for other countries in Europe and Asia. It was the countries we are defending must pay for the cost of this defense. If not, the U.S. must be prepared to let these countries defend themselves. We have no choice. He could not have said that any more succinctly, guys. That is a concept that some people, for some reason, do not understand. If a countries do not want to support us, they do not want to back us, they do not want to put in their fair share, but they want us to continue to give them billions of dollars a year, they need to understand that we don't have to do anything. We're the United States. We don't have to keep giving you money because you demand it. We're giving money because we're essentially too nice, in my opinion. We need to focus on America first. But that's one thing I thought that he said in there that was so succinct. If they don't want to be polite with us, if they don't want to basically scratch our back also, they need to pay for some of the cost of this defense. If they don't want to do so, they can defend themselves. Most of these countries make plenty of money. I even brought that yesterday. In 2014, we gave Saudi Arabia $1.4 million for like nothing, absolutely nothing at all. And another thing he brought up in here, he said the whole world will be safer if our allies do their part to support our common defense and security. A Trump administration will lead a free world that is properly armed and funded beautifully. We are a humanitarian nation, but the legacy of the Obama-Clinton invention with the will be weakness, confusion, and disarray, a mess. He goes, we made the Middle East more unstable and chaotic than ever before. Listen to this, guys. This is what he said in the speech yesterday. We left Christians subject to intense persecution and even genocide. We have done nothing to help the Christian. Nothing. And we should always be ashamed for that, for that lack of action. Our action in Iraq, Libya, and Syria has helped unleash ISIS, and we're in a war against radical Islam. But President Obama won't even name the enemy, and unless you name the enemy, you will never, ever solve the problem. This is the first time now I have heard anybody in any type of political avenue discuss the fact that Christians are being persecuted en masse in the Middle East. First time. Nobody brings this up. Nobody wants to talk about it. Everybody wants to ignore it and not act like hundreds of people, hundreds of Christians are getting slaughtered in the Middle East by these yak-yak radical Islams that are completely and totally nuts over there. Nobody wants to bring it up. He brought this up on national television last night, guys. That right there, and I really don't care if you think Donald Trump's this, he's that, he's crazy. This is the first time I've heard somebody bring this up. Now, whether or not he sticks to his guns, whether or not he's allowed to engage in this, whether or not they don't kill him, whether or not he even can get in office before they don't set off some type of false flag, I don't know. I don't know. I can't speak for what's going to happen in the future. I can't. I don't know. But all I know is this man is speaking the truth about America. He's speaking what Americans need to hear, want to hear, want to say themselves, but don't have the base plate and the mouthpiece to get this out on open television because the mainstream media is so restrictive and they're owned by the mega corporations. This man, and his whole thing, I suggest you watch it yesterday, or we watch online, and get an idea what he stands for. I mean, they eviscerated him today. CNN, all these places, eviscerated him. Oh, he can't do this. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Blah, blah, blah. No, you know why everybody's criticizing him? Because he's going against the globalist grain. He's the only one that has come out now and said this stuff and is 100% right. And he's the first person to come out and say that Christians are having massive persecution and genocide in the Middle East. And we've done nothing, and we should be ashamed for that. I mean, remember I pulled up those numbers the other day? So far, we've let in like 1,900 Syrian refugees in a specific month. Only one of those individuals claimed to be Christian on their importation documents. That was it. One out of 2,000 was Christian. They're intentionally not allowing them to come over here. They're intentionally bringing in radical Muslims on purpose to do the same thing they're doing over in Europe right now so they can unleash this horde of radicals in a country that doesn't know how to deal with people that have no values, have no ethics, have no morals, have no self-control. That was the other article I was reading earlier. This girl's at a bus stop in Austria, at a bus stop, and some migrant Muslim runs up to her, pulls his pants down, pulls out a handful of condoms and starts chasing her, saying sex. That's the only thing he said. Just kept saying that over and over and over again. Are you kidding me? This is acceptable behavior. These are people that we want to bring in. We're supposed to help these people. First off, you can't help people that don't want to help themselves. Very few of these people that I have seen, that I have talked to, anybody that's worked in this, is seeing a massive increase in the will or want for these people to actually want to bridge themselves into society, to adapt with us, to mesh with us. The same thing in Europe. They're coming in there and they're saying, we're Islam. This is our country now. They don't want to adapt. They don't want to be a part of that country. They want to own that country. And they want to eject everybody out that is not a radical Muslim. And so you say, okay, there is a group of Muslims that are not engaged in extreme radical behavior. But the problem that I have with is that most of the individuals that are not engaged in that type of behavior never condone that type of radical behavior. Rarely have you seen a Muslim come out on television, on the news, and say, this is not what we're about. These guys are completely and totally going against the Quran, Muhammad, Allah, whatever the dude's name is that they worship. They're going all against that. This completely, directly against. When's the last time you heard a Muslim come out and say that? It's been very, very rare, if ever, that I've ever been exposed to that. They don't say anything. They don't do anything about it. Because deep down inside, they know that's acceptable for Muslims. They just don't engage in that bizarre of behavior, but it's okay for other people to do it. They just don't engage in it, and they're sure as heck not going to condemn it. So, and I'm ranting on that, so I'll go to a different subject now. Organic baby formula, organic non-GMO food advocates at the consumer advocacy group Organic Consumers Association issued a press release April 26th stating the OCA was suing two baby formula manufacturers for misleading and false product labeling and ingredients. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. The first one they're suing is, again, The Honest Company, which was co-founded by Jessica Alba. I highly suggest that either Jessica Alba cleans up this product brand or she walks away from it because she is smearing her image. She seems like a very nice girl. I've never met her in person. I've seen her in an interview. She seems really sweet. I think she has the right attitude. I think she wants to engage in this. I think she really believes in the organic non-GMO movement. The problem is what I think they're doing now is they're just allowing outside manufacturers to make these products for them, and they don't even know what's really going in them. This is pretty serious allegations that the OCA puts in this lawsuit, and apparently nobody's been able to rebuttal it. The Honest Company's brand Premium Infant Formula, advertised and labeled as organic, when it actually it contained 11 substances prohibited by federal law from organics. Not one, not two, 11 substances. Some of the ingredients are federally regulated as hazardous compounds. At least one is irradiated, meaning it's radioactive, guys. That's a serious issue. You have 11 compounds in there that aren't even allowed in organics. You have others that are hazardous compounds, and you have one that's radioactive. And some have not even been assessed as safe for human foods, much less infant foods. Now, guys, this isn't some bobo, don't know where you're at, side of the road, hey, I made organic formula, come buy it, you know, out of the back of my truck, take your money, and then I take off. No, this is like a leading top organic non-GMO brand that's labeled Premium Infant Formula Organic Non-GMO. Not only is it not even organic, it's got 11 ingredients that they found that aren't even allowed in organic. It's got hazardous compounds, one radioactive compound, and other compounds in it that aren't even safe for human foods. I don't have the full list of ingredients. I'm going to do a little bit more research and see if I can find it for you guys for tomorrow or next week and find out actually what's in this stuff. And that's why we've told you guys so many times before that, you know, organic, whole, raw goat's milk is the best option. That's why we have it in the Train Up Your Children the Way They Should Eat. I mean, I just had a customer email me the other day. The the mother was having a hard time producing enough milk, and so they were substituting our organic goat's milk formula, which we throw, you know, a little bit of blackstrap, vitamin C, folate, cod liver oil, then you end up, depending on their age, obviously things step up, and it's super good. And, you know, as long as you know the farmer, you know what you're getting. Now, granted, again, the same thing, I don't recommend buying goat's milk for some yak on the side of the road that you don't know, but a place that has, you know, you can tour the compound or the farm, you can see how everything's done, you can see the cleanliness of everything, and, you know, go from there, make your own decision. This is ultimately your own decision. But, you know, we've talked so many times about formulas and what's in them and how bad they are, but then to see a brand that's premium, organic, non-GMO food, and I don't know how much this stuff costs, but I guarantee you it's not cheap, to see it come in with this level of toxicity is troubling to me. And it should really be troubling to Jessica Alba, considering the fact that she co-founded this company. She really needs to reevaluate her role in this company any further. I don't know how much money she's getting. I don't know if she's been compromised and she doesn't care. It doesn't seem like that to me from what I've seen from her. But I'm just giving you guys a heads up. If you're using this stuff, it needs to be discontinued immediately. The other brand that is filed in the lawsuit is Hain's Celestial's Earth Best Brand, including organic infant formula, organic soy infant formula, which my listeners, you guys shouldn't be using that. So that shouldn't be out, that'd be out of the question. Organic sensitivity infant formula and organic toddler formula are all falsely labeled organic because they contain a spectacular array of ingredients that are non-agricultural and non-organic, all of which are prohibited under OPPA. For example, of the 48 ingredients in Earth's Best Organic Infant Formula alone, more than half violate USDA organic standards. Now, this is what people have to start doing. I'm so glad this came out. I mean, I'm so glad this came out and this came to light. If more and more people start doing this, you know, independent labs test stuff. I mean, heck, guys, I mean, there's, you can go online and have companies lab stuff. If you're using a formula, if you're using something, you know, you don't have access to goat's milk, if you don't have access to, you know, breast milk, you know, go and have it assayed and tested. I mean, you can have most labs do this for a few $100s, I mean, depending on where you go, and get an idea. I mean, this is something that's going in your growing infant child. I would never, ever compromise that. But, you know, the problem is you see it, oh, organic, non-GMO formula, you know, man, that sounds too good to be true. Let's might as well get it. It's, you know, $15, $20 for a little bottle of it. I mean, it must be good. Well, no, apparently it's not. So reading the label apparently is not enough anymore, guys. Sad as that is. These guys are going to be in a heap of trouble because, I mean, they violated so many doggone food laws with this. I will be surprised if the Honest Company, honestly, even bounces back from this with Jessica Alba's brand. I will. They already had the issues with the diapers last year, and that's diapers, guys. I mean, okay, you got some stuff that's not organic, cotton in diapers. That's bad. You're labeling it, but they're pooping in it. They're getting changed every, like, 2 hours. Dude, this is formula. This is stuff they grow off. This is what they live off of. Without this, they die. So without giving them adequate food and not giving them nutritional food, this actually compromises their overall health, ability to grow, their long-term immune system needs. I mean, you name it. This has caused problems with it. So these guys are going to be in a world of trouble as far as the lawsuit. And also, too, it's probably what they're going to do is they're probably going to contact the lawsuit. It's probably going to be class action. They'll probably contact anybody that they have in a database that has ordered or used that formula, and they're probably going to receive some type of settlement. I've seen that done before as well. I don't know if it'll go that far, but I sure hope it does. Now, another side story, Argentina, which I've talked about already, they're in a mess right now. They're in an absolute mess, but the story I'm going into, it's not just about Argentina. They have their own deal of problems right now. I mean, they're cutting the workforce down to save energy. There's food lines every day, riot, crime, it's horrible. And now Monsanto has gone in and demanded that they pay over their royalty still owed by farmers. You're not even going to believe this. And this is how corrupt and stinking, oh, just it just makes me super mad with Monsanto. They're so greedy. All they care about is raping everybody and stealing as much money as they can. They don't care what. Argentina is in a serious issue right now. They've already had issues. Venezuela has even worse issues right now. Argentina's already having issues with that. Argentina has recently shown signs that they may take the side of farmers over Monsanto. The International Agriculture Corporation is not willing to simply accept defeat, nor is it even willing to accept a minor obstacle and attempt to dominate the food supply. This is by Brandon Turnbull. Shortly after the government of President Meraki passed a resolution officially giving control of the analysis of seeds, Monsanto is now set to challenge the Argentine government decision. While the Argentine government has agreed to collect money owed by small farms and royalties on genetically modified soybean seeds, the government requested additional time to do so. Even this, however, was unacceptable to Monsanto, as the corporation rejected the government's recent request. As a result, Ricardo Borrell, the agriculture minister, and members of his staff met with representatives of Monsanto and the chief operation officer, Brett Begman, to request a waiver on the owed royalties. Monsanto again rejected that waiver request, but did agree to slash the royalties being demanded from $15 a hectare to $9 for growers who use Monsanto technology, but still wanted everything paid and on time. The issue surrounds the fact that Monsanto is demanding that exporters inspect cargo to determine whether or not farmers had paid the requisite royalties to produce the company's genetically modified soybeans. This is what I've talked about, guys. Monsanto is a leech parasite. They produce nothing. They make nothing. They take normal, God-built seeds, and they turn around and modify them, change a couple things on them so a worm doesn't eat them. Or you can spray them with glyphosate, which is even better. You know, I mean, and then they sit there and sell them and then want royalties on them as well after they harvest them. They do nothing positive for society. There's been multiple research studies that have come out now and said Monsanto GMO food does absolutely nothing to yield more food. If anything, it's actually going to hurt us in the long run because the amount of contamination and toxins that are going to be in the soil now from all these rows of GMO corn, soybeans, all this stuff in the United States. What is this going to do in 10 or 15 years when we've completely saturated the soil with glyphosate, with what's that one now, 2DD or whatever, I forgot it is, the same stuff that's in Agent Orange. There's all this stuff they use on them now, and it's just pumping it into the ground. And so you really think we're going to be able to grow something productive that's not GMO in there in the future? No. That's what these guys do. What's crazy, Monsanto is claiming that the Argentine farmers have benefited immensely from the technology and demanding that everyone pay to use it. But for about a year, Monsanto has been pressuring shipping companies and demanding that the companies notify it when crops produced with Intacta technology, which is one of Monsanto's patented technologies. Their technology is, you know, changing the DNA on a soybean. That's their big contribute to society. Are scheduled to be exported without corresponding document proving that royalties have been paid to Monsanto. Monsanto is demanding royalties for grains produced even by second-generation seeds. However, all farmers argue that Argentina law does not require that they pay for second-generation production and are asking government to stop private companies from acting as food inspectors. The Argentina Rural Society, an organization that represents medium and large-scale producers, said the inspections were unwarranted. These methods were not only not authorized, but furthermore, we saw them as an abuse of power for a company to be acting like the police, says SRA President Luis Echeverri. And that's what these guys are. It's like when you enter in a deal with Monsanto, it's pretty much like doing a deal with the devil. You're essentially signing over your soul. It doesn't matter what happens. They pretty much own you at that point. I mean, as you see this now they're wanting second-generation seeds that are made off their seeds to be paid. They want royalties to be paid on all that. This is what they do, guys. They leech off everything. The whole point of Monsanto is they want to create a giant food monopoly. So every single piece of food that anybody touches, they get some type of royalty, commission, payment from it, some way, shape, or form. That's their goal. That is their overall goal. Just like that one pharmaceutical CEO came out a long time ago and he said, one of our main goals is we want to have one of our prescription drugs in every single hand of America in the future. That's what they say. That's what these guys' goal is. They want to contaminate our society that bad with their garbage. They don't care what it does to anybody. They don't care if it kills millions and millions of people. As long as they're making money off of it, that's what they do. And that's all they care about. I've talked about issues with antibiotic resistance as we've seen issues become more and more and more problematic all over the place now. We're seeing people contracting just simple bacteria, viruses, whatever, and nothing's working. Nothing's working. And what they're saying is, as I've mentioned this before, the massive overuse of antibiotics in humans and also animals alike is causing these basically antibiotic resistant diseases and viruses and bacteria and all this stuff that come out. And now, as reported by MedPage today, they're saying it's increasing antibiotic resistant staph is now being associated with cardiac device-related bacterial infections, methicillin-resistant infections that are related to cardiac implantable electronic devices leads have been explanted are specifically on the rise, according to a single center study. That the rates of methicillin resistance appear to be higher than those reported from the preceding decade, the research team wrote. Overall, these signs of increasing methicillin resistance organisms may reflect the common inappropriate use of broad spectrum antibiotics and suggest acquisition of culprit organisms in healthcare environments. MedPage today further reported and said Taraki's study included 816 consecutive patients who had their transvenous device leads extracted between 2000 and 2011. Pathogens were detected in 86.8% of the patients. That's bad. That's horrible. This is what I've gone over and over again. That's why I tell you guys, do not go on antibiotics unless you absolutely have to. Granted, they're great if you need them. They can save your life if you need them. But they do not need to be a first resort as soon as you get the sniffles or a cold. I can't tell you how many times I've been around people and they got a cold and like, oh yeah, I just went to the doctor yesterday. I'm on antibiotics. I'll do better. I've talked to somebody one time and they're like, yeah, I'm kind of tired. My nose has been running. I got some antibiotics at the house. So I'm going to hit those for like 6 or 7 days and knock this out of me. I'm like, you moron. You don't have an antibiotic deficiency. Your immune system's compromised by something you're doing or something it's been exposed to. Increase your immune system. That's all it needs to do. Give it the tools it needs. You know, the vitamin C, the D3, the astragalus, the black seed oil, the main key nutrients that you need, and it'll knock it right out. That's why we created the Immune Support Survival Kit on the front page. That's why we named it that. It basically helps your immune system survive in this chaotic environment that we're exposed to all the time. I mean, there's no reason to go gung-ho on antibiotics every time you get the sniffles. I see people do it with kids all the time, too. And you got to remember, antibiotics completely kill your gut microbes. So whenever you go on antibiotics, if you do have to use it, the first thing that needs to be on your list is a really, really aggressive probiotic, like our probiotic blender, even better, our probiotic 100 billion. Because without proper probiotics, the gut cannot absorb nutrients completely. It's so important. We've talked about it so many times, but you have to keep the proper amount of probiotics in the body. It's mandatory. There is no option around it. But if you keep the good, healthy bacteria in the first place, and you take good supplements to help out with the immune system, it's not an issue. You don't really run into problems like this very often at all. Now, if you're going to the doctor and you're having to have some type of surgery and it's something that's just, it has to be done, a lot of times they will put you on antibiotics to prevent some type of infection. I'm not telling you guys don't go on antibiotics. If your doctor is telling you you know, you're going to have something done, you need to go on antibiotics, that's between you and him. Don't say I told you not to do that. But these simple little sniffle colds that people get, or they're feeling run down for a couple days and they catch something, don't run to the doctor. There's no reason to do so. One of the issues why our healthcare system is so completely out of whack as well. If people started taking their health into their own hands and didn't rely on their food consisting of Taco Bell and McDonald's and Burger King every day, and they actually said, hey, maybe I need to eat something a little bit healthier. Maybe I need to take care of my body instead of, oh, I'm sick, I'll go to the doctor. Oh, I eat crap all the time. That's okay. When I get sick, I'll go to the doctor. I have free health insurance. Or I have very, very, very low deductible cost health insurance. No, guys, it puts a burden on everybody else because you're too lazy to take care of yourself. And I'm not talking about our listeners because I know most of you guys are great supporters of us, and I really appreciate that. You guys are great. We get emails all the time from you. That's why you're listening, because you guys know that we're trying to give you guys the best information out there. But to your friends, to your family, the people that want to sit there and be sluggards and eat just garbage food all day and not take supplements and not exercise and not live right and then want to rely on the medical system to basically babysit them every month because they can't take care of themselves because they're too lazy, that's not right. That's not right to us. That's not right to the rest of America. That's not right to our future generations. It's not. Because if we had a society where everybody was essentially on their own, like it used to be in the old, you know, Western days where we had doctors, but people had to figure it out on their own. You couldn't just say, oh, I don't care about getting sick. I don't care how I eat. I'll just do what I want to do, live how I want to live, eat how I want to eat, and when I get sick, I'll just go to the doctor because I have free health insurance. No, man, that happened back then. You died. You just died. There was no other option. There was no go, start over, collect $200, nothing. You just died. And so everybody's gotten so used to our medical model now where we can just be lazy and fat and not do anything. Where we're at, man. That's where we're at, guys. That's why I really, really encourage you. If you have people that you know aren't living right, if they're not eating right, if they're not taking supplements, talk to them. Be like, hey, man, you know, listen to this. Let them listen to our podcast. Give them an article. Print our articles off. I don't care. You can print any articles you want off our website and give them to people anytime you want. No cost. You give them printers. Print them off. But, I mean, anything we can do to wake people up and get them in the right track. Because if we can start doing that, if we get more people prepared for what's happening in the future, that's another thing, guys. You know, these people that are all, you know, oh, this and that, oh, I'm ready for this, or I may be this, I don't know what's going to happen, but they're on 10 prescription drugs, it's going to happen when the pharmacy's shut down. What are you going to do? You ain't going to do anything. You're just going to get sick because you're addicted to all your medications, trying to get off all that stuff. But anyways, guys, it's been awesome. I'll be back on again tomorrow. Maybe see if I can get Dad on. I don't know if he's going to be around, though. But we appreciate it. Check this out again if you have any questions. Healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed night, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.